You are listening to KBOO Portland. It's just the minute before 10. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, stage and studio talks with performing literary and media artists from the Northwest. And at 11:30, Art Focus welcomes Ogden Gallery's Bob Koch to discuss the detailed artwork of Indian painter A.J. Garg. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support. To keep informed and get involved, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. And now, at the top of the hour, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. What's he going to?
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. And they always say, people say, you know, nothing ever happens on a Tuesday. Well, welcome to my world. Today we have the honor of speaking with Sarah Thompson. She's Deputy Secretary of PR of the Grand Ronde Tribes. And we're talking again about artifacts, which aren't they're artifacts of white people. They're part of the ceremony, the sacrament, the ritual of life for First Nations. And they are indeed, they're part of, it's a huge sector of the spiritual world of First Nations, First People, here, the rightful owners of the land that we walk. So that said, there are artifacts returning from Britain to the United States, and they get to visit for a year. My guess is, if the tribes are smart, that stuff isn't going back because it's in its rightful home. And a year means nothing when it comes to the rightful ownership of these things. Speaking of rightful ownership, we do also have rightful ownership of what we laughingly nowadays call democracy. Certainly, we are still guaranteed our rights, and some people actually stand up and demand that we live in a land free of bigotry, white supremacist doctrines, and the white power movement's death grip on the United States right now. We have a president who quite clearly supports their ideas, and worse yet, supports their actions, supports their demands, supports everything that they stand for. That alone should alarm people. There was an incident, as many know, of course, on the weekend, a clash between these people, and and Portland's Antifa contingent. What baffles me is why the left has decided that Antifa, that they are the villains. Once again, that's a very dangerous thing to do, decide things in terms of black and white. It philosophies, ethics, and morality. There is no black and white. There is no right and wrong. That's something that we have to be careful of, because in this nation of Puritans, there are beliefs that set us all up for confrontation. And the Antifa contingent has been reviled by the left, and probably for what reason? Out of fear that the left itself will be reviled by what we call now, again laughingly, mainstream culture, which has been, of course, what shall we say? Mainstream culture has no footing, no reality. It would be very hard to go out and find it. But what Antifa engaged in on the weekend, certainly, in my book, would be better than sitting home, diddling around with social media, and talking about white supremacy and why it's a danger to democracy. Well, some people are out in the streets actually defending their beliefs. But before we do that, we've got Sarah Thompson waiting patiently on the line, and generous with her time this morning, to talk a little bit about the Grand Ronde and the artifacts. And we've got some news on that front. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Well, welcome. And this is very interesting. It is... If anything is important, then this is, because the elements of a spiritual life, the ritual elements, are of tremendous importance, and white culture seems to dismiss that weight, that importance, and whenever we're able to celebrate and affirm the righteous ownership of these things, and that is an opportunity not to be missed. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Absolutely. So the exciting thing about this new exhibit, Rise of the Collectors, is that, yes, after a 20-year effort, we have finally brought these objects home from the British Museum, if only for a year. But it's an opportunity for the tribes to tell their own story and their own history, and to share that history, and to learn from these objects, from these artifacts, about a way of life that existed back in the 1870s, 1880s, and the early 1900s. And it's about telling that story. It's about sharing these objects and learning from these objects, so that these belongings can be replicated, and the traditions associated with them kept alive for future generations.
The way it appears, and as a white person, it does appear that the traditions that these objects represent, those traditions would be somewhat on hold, and their return would prompt another stage, a continuing of the tradition onto the future, so that where we are right now in the immediacy of the present is part of the story of the objects. History being so linear, and the stories being circular, the return of the objects must be. I would expect or imagine so important for the people who make the objects, or the people who use them as part of the spiritual life of the tribe. Can you talk a little bit about how the objects are they're not part of the past, they're part of the present for those people who have a right to them?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the exciting thing about this time is, you know, not only getting to tell these stories and the story of the history of the tribe, but learning from these objects, learning how to recreate these objects so that after the year is over, we can continue with our own traditions and the cultural practices associated with what we've learned.
So after the year, during the year, what about negotiations? Can you talk a bit about the chances of negotiating this so that these things are able to find a permanent home here in the land and among the people who created them in the first place?
You know, right now we're just focused on enjoying this time that we have and maintaining a healthy, a great working relationship with the British Museum and enjoying the time that we have with these objects.
So how are our present-day craftspeople responding? Have you heard from people who are taking their experiences, the objects themselves, and continuing it into the future, making things right in the here and now, and perhaps teaching upcoming generations how to make these things and how they're used too, of course?
You know, the objects have only been here for a week. The exhibit just opened today, and so we are still in the learning phase, and I'm sure all of that will kind of reveal itself over the timeline that we have them.
It is really wonderful that this has happened.
It is.
What would you like to see the white culture, the overlay on the reality this earth? How would you like to see, what would you like white culture to take away from their experience of seeing these things?
The realization that culture is a living and breathing component of tribal life. I would encourage them to come out to Grand Ronde, to visit the Rise of the Collectors exhibit and take in these artifacts while we have them from the British Museum. And just walk away with an understanding that culture is a living, breathing component of tribal life.
Thank you so much for that. Anything further that you'd just like to add that we haven't covered?
I don't think so. Thank you for having me on.
And it's really more important to go and see for yourself, oneself, what we're talking about, because the return of these things is part of their story, and in an odd sense, I suppose, part of the story of a people, a very ancient story. Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Sarah Thompson, the Deputy Secretary of the Grand Ronde Tribes, and we're talking about the return from the British Museum of incredibly important, very, very ancient objects that are part of the daily spiritual life of the First Nations. And thank you so much for that. There have been a number of interesting developments. Paul Manafort, apparently an original member of the Trump election circus, who is caught red-handed and was placed under house arrest. Is very, very strict. He's out on $1 million in bail, and he is under house arrest in very, very strict terms that he must agree to, and he must follow through with, of course. Well, it turns out that old Paul has been on the phone and he attempting to tamper with the testimony of witnesses. Oh, Paul, you shouldn't have done that. And we sit in Portland, and tisk, the behavior of the Antifa contingent, which, had we had time today, I wanted to invite anyone who identifies with the group to call in, because I do, you know. And again, I always promise people that if I'm going to speak out of my own bias, I'll let you know. So here it comes. I do think that this is the kind of thing, if you go back, you know, it's what, 2018, you go back to 1968 and you see people roaring out onto the street and getting in the news and making change face to face, hand to hand, and mind to mind. And that is, that accomplishes more, in my opinion, than sitting at home with your cat on your lap, diddling away at various, updating your, what is it, updating your profile on Facebook to indicate that you think that white supremacy is a bad idea for America. That I think that the Antifa members' actions, whatever one thinks of them, if you put it all together and make the picture real, that history will judge us, and they judge our actions perhaps more than our words. That said, this has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June 5th, 2018. Judy Peasel engineered the show for us today. Thank you so much, Judy. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Northwest Deaf Arts Festival on Saturday, June 16th at Mississippi Studios in Portland. The Northwest Deaf Arts Festival consists of a family-friendly matinee show as well as an adult-only 21 and over evening show. Performers include hip-hop artists